Sarah Burns is an art historian. She's been curious about haunted houses, and she observes that in our day, our time, the high-tech world of digital images and future shock, the moldering Victorian house still has a place. A search for images of haunted houses on the internet yields an array of hits, but most striking is the fact that by far the greater number of the houses in this category are versions of the Victorian, with mansard roofs or multiple steep, craggy gables, along with assorted towers, Gothic gingerbread, ornate pillars, and cavernous verandas. So familiar are such houses that we respond to their visceral appeal without wondering why or how the Victorian house, in particular, came to be the universal signifier of mystery, creepiness, ghosts, and crime, or why a mansard roof, narrow lancet windows, or spiky iron lace in the moonlight stirs up vague anxiety and dread, or elicits shivery thrills. The Bates Mansion in Alfred Hitchcock's 1960 film Psycho seems a likely source of such connotations, as does the ramshackle Victorian home of the cartoonist Charles Adams' eponymous horror show family. From decades earlier, there is Edward Hopper's house by the railroad canvas, which, with its enigmatic and forbidding Victorian face, could have been the model for both. Certainly, there are other sorts of places we associate with ghosts, old-world castles, dungeons, and crypts. The antebellum big house, the alleged witch houses of 17th-century Salem. Yet none so pervades and dominates the haunted visual landscape as the Victorian house does today. Like a body, the Victorian house enclosed a spirit within its shell. Exterior and interior were coextensive. The facade with its turrets, mansard or steeply gabled roof, irregular angles, and jigsaw scroll work promised inner spaces equally eccentric and complex, equally disconcerting. Indeed, in contemporary opinion, Victorian houses were made to be haunted. The horror scholar Jack Morgan writes that when literary conventions, such as the bleak, antiquated mansion, become deeply familiar, they are often dropped or become narrative blanks. A readership brings these conventions to a reading, and they need not be overly presented. Over time, the Victorian mansion came to be just such a narrative blank. That from Sarah Burns in an article titled Better for Haunts in the journal American Art. She leaves us there with the notion that the ubiquitous images in books, films, and online depicting haunted houses as Victorian mansions has created a blank canvas, in a sense. We know it so well that we don't actually have to see it. And that's the case as we discover a manor house here in our midst that looks for all the world like a warehouse on the outside. But the producers do so very well at bringing out what Burns calls the spirit within the shell of the house. And the interior helps us create an exterior as scary as our imagination can conjure it up. For 25 years, a dedicated team has been telling original, scary-to-the-max stories and inviting us in to Gravestone Manor along Route 315 in the Wilkes-Barre area, into a house they've constructed within the Tryon Industries warehouse. Tours begin this Friday, September 26th, and run through October 26th, and all proceeds benefit United Way of Wyoming Valley. Rob Patton, creative director, and Karen Patton, assistant director, paid a visit to the WVIA studios to invite us to celebrate Gravestone Manor's 25th anniversary. History first.
Gravestone Manor started at the Sallie Mae in the Hanover Industrial Park. So they were big United Way supporters, and they were looking to do something different to raise money as opposed to just the annual drive that they did, you know, the payroll deductions and everything. And so a group of people got together, and they said, can we have permission to turn our cafeteria into a haunted house for a couple of weekends in October? And all the funds would go to benefit the United Way. And the vice president at the time, Joe Bailey of Sallie Mae, Pennsylvania, he said yes. And so they started building some walls. And they approached me probably in late August of 1998. And they said, so we're going to do like a theater haunted house. And I was kind of concerned, theater haunted house, what is that? And since I was basically the only person they knew with a community theater background or any kind of theatrical skills whatsoever, they asked me to kind of take the lead on being the lead actor there. So we actually had like five or six actors that we pulled from the Sallie Mae group, and many of them had never done any kind of acting at all. But in October of 1998, I had the opportunity and I guess the honor at this point of taking the very first tour through Gravestone Manor. So we continued on there for the next 2 years in the cafeteria at Sallie Mae. So basically every Labor Day, we'd build the walls and we'd move all the chairs over to the side. And then once the last show went, the weekend after Halloween, we'd take everything down, put it back in the storage, and there we went. By the third year, they said, you know, we do so much stuff with the construction and the effects and everything that we'd like you to start handling the actors. And so they made me the director for Gravestone 3, and I've kind of been the director ever since. So, you know, so it's kind of been a long run, but I've been there not since the inception, but pretty much since the very first show.
You speak of Gravestone 1 and Gravestone 2 and now Gravestone 25. This is your anniversary. Is each year a different theme? Is each year a different story?
So the first script was written by a man named Roderick Markham. And so he's later turned out to be kind of a local playwright. He's written things for the stage here and there, a lot of one acts. He has some going on in Scranton and Diva, as well as out in Whitehaven. And so so he was kind of the overall head of the beginning of this and the inception. So he wrote that first script, and then another person said they'd like to try their hand at the second one. So somebody else went and they wrote the second one, and that was all about a haunted hotel. And so the guests arrived and they were now part of a haunted hotel, and every room had a different little story of what happened there that made it so scary. And then the third one, we went to the realtor, where now there's somebody from Century 13 Realty, and they're trying to sell you the house. But, you know, under the guise of full disclosure, we kind of have to tell you everything that might be wrong. So it was a very fun part to play the realtor, because stuff is happening around you, but you got to try to play it off as if I really want to make this sales. So no matter what else is going on, you know, you still have to. The tour guide's basically just your straight man through the whole thing. And they're not the scary parts, which is kind of good because, you know, not that big into scaring people. But, you know, it's fun watching other people get scared, and lets all the other actors go and do their thing and have a lot of fun with the scaredness of it.
Karen, how did you get drawn into the mix?
When my two sons reached the age that they were able to volunteer, that's when it became a family affair. So now, instead of just being one, now we each have a different job to do. You know, my one son is a popping actor, so you never know where he's going to be in the house, and he always has something different and interesting to do. The other one is a speaking actor, so you'll see him doing his lines, and he is another one who likes to be the scary character, but he also likes to have his lines. I like the tour guide, realtor. Oh, what are some of the other examples that we've had? We've had so many different kinds of tour guides.
We played detectives,
reality show hosts.
Reality show ghost busting host kind of things. And cold case here was definitely about the psychic. And then we've had like a therapist that goes into the mind, hypnotizes another character, and then they're going through their dreams and their nightmares kind of things. So it's changed around every year. We have a completely different story. So this year we're kind of happy about our story that we're doing.
It's appropriate to create a little suspense when we're talking about horror themes. before we get to this year's story, did you go from Sallie Mae's cafeteria to the Tryon building directly?
We did not. We spent 4 years on Public Square. So we actually had a year off where we were homeless. Nobody wanted us. And then there was a nice spot that opened up right off of Public Square in the back, I believe, where the Guard building is now. So it was right on the same block as the Kirby, right next to Rodano's in there. And it was a spot where we were now able to keep the house up all year round. So once we built the walls in December or January, we were able to build more walls because what originally started out as a six-room house now was probably up to about 12 or 13 with mazes in between. And so we spent a lot of time that year building extra walls and making everything longer, and probably was a 10-minute show was now getting close to about a half hour once you went and you started from the beginning to the end. And so we were there for 4 years until the end of Gravestone 7, at which point they were doing a revitalization of downtown. And that's when the movie theater was starting to open up. And so at that point, they thought that we can get somebody else in there. So they did give us plenty of leeway. And the United Way went and they found us a new home up at Tryon Industries on 315. And they gave us a spot of their warehouse that's been set off from the rest of the building. And so ever since then, so that would be about 2007, we've been in Tryon ever since. And they're wonderful landlords. We get to keep our building up all year round, and we get to make, you know, little changes. Being able to make little changes in May and June so that everything's not waiting to the last minute is always a very big help.
As we've come to understand it, this is a warehouse, and it's a huge space. So when you talk about a house, you really mean it.
Yeah. Yeah, there are different ways to set it up. And we have an entrance where we introduce the story. And then we have different rooms in the house. So even though the storyline is different, it's always set in some kind of house. So what we could do is maybe 1 year we don't have a children's room with toys in it. Maybe 1 year we change that room so it's a den. Or maybe another year we have a bathroom, and instead of the bathroom, now it's a bedroom. Just to keep things A, aligned with the script, and B, fresh for our audience members, because we do have people who've come back year and time again in order to see what we have new. You know, because there's two kinds of people who come through the house. There's people who want to be scared, and then there's people who want to be involved in the story and the plot and the mood and the tone. So some people come to see, whoa, what kind of story do they have? And some people come to see, what kind of effects are they going to have? So we try to change it up every year to give everybody a new, you know, a new experience.
Your cast tends to be made up of veterans of community theater in the region, so the level of acting would be high.
We do have rehearsals for the show. They last about 3 weeks. We have auditions, and then you get cast in the part based on where you fit the best. And then, you know, once everyone learns their lines and they learn their blocking, and we have lighting cues and all kinds of things like that. The big difference between Gravestone Manor and a normal production is that you're actually on stage with the actors. You're going from scene to scene. So every room that you go in is basically another scene to the story. And so they all have the exposition at the beginning, and then there's the rising action. And then finally we're going to go to the climax, and then there's even going to be a denouement at the end. So if you're there for the story, we make sure that everything's very cohesive. But at the same time, we also know our job is to scare people. And so you kind of have to be able to take the two. So we don't consider ourselves to be scary. We consider ourselves to be a little bit more of a surprise. We like to think a little bit more Hitchcockian than Friday the 13th. So if you're paying attention to what it is, then you might get some clues on what's going to happen next. But if not, if you're just there for a good jump scare, a good startle, then that's absolutely something that we will provide to you.
Yeah, it is. It's an involvement, because you're not just going through, and it's not a passive situation where we are just scaring you. We are involving you in the storyline. So we're asking you questions. We're keeping you entertained, getting you involved. And I like to think of it less as, that was really scary, to that was a shocking experience. whenever at the end, when people come out of the event, I like to listen to the feedback that they have. And very often they laugh because they've caught themselves being scared. Like, you know, when you get startled and then you laugh. So they're laughing. They're like, okay, that was cool. Okay, I wasn't expecting that. Oh no, this is terrible. Or, oh, that was awesome. So it's really fun to hear the audience's reactions, not only in the scenes, but also afterwards too.
It's not like attending a theater performance. There are a number of performances each night.
That's correct. So when you get there, basically what we're going to do is we're going to put you in a small auditorium. Okay, so it's going to be set up there. We're going to show you some old classic horror movies and some bad sci-fi movies. And then we're put you in groups of eight. And probably about every 5 minutes, another group of eight is going to go through. And you're going to get your very own tour guide. And then you'll go through with that tour and you'll go from room to room to room. And then once you get far enough into the house, so about 5 minutes later, the next group behind you is going to come and they're going to get a completely different tour guide. Now, each tour guide does have the same lines, but they all have different personalities. So there's different ways that you can play all these different parts. And so you might come three times during the season and get three different tour guides and have three different experiences. Same thing with the poppers that are on that night. Sometimes we have more than enough people. Sometimes we have a skeleton crew. So we make do with what we have, but some nights we're just on. Depending on our audience and the reactions we're getting, it just kind of gets the actors backstage hyped up, makes them want to go more and more and more. And so it's always a different vibe from night to night. So when we're busy and tours are pushed together, one right behind each other, and they don't have a chance to break, that's when they're happy. They're extremely happy when it's just constant people lined up rolling through over and over again. As soon as you get off a tour, you have enough time to get a drink of water, and then you're back in the house for another 15-20 minute tour. And then when you're out, you think maybe I'll get a chance to sit down, and somebody's waving you in that there's another tour waiting, and so you have to go right around and back in again. And so next thing you know it, it's 10 o'clock and time to close the doors.
When Rob is directing, he has such a world of knowledge about the house and about the history of the house. And he always tells actors, old and new, that I'm not just casting one show. We're not just performing one show. We're performing 15 nights. So the cast could be completely different from weekend one to the last weekend. And every tour is going to be different. I could take one tour through that's a bunch of Little League team members, and they're squealing and yelling and they're having a great time. And then I could have another tour where they're entertained, but not vocal about it. I can have a third tour that just screams the entire time. And they're all really, really fun. So as an actor, you have to have a sense of flexibility and a sense of improv, too.
This is year number 25. Are you doing something special to mark your anniversary?
So this year, Roderick Markham actually pitched this one. So every year in the early spring, late winter, we have a volunteer meeting. So all the volunteers that attended last year's production were invited, and we have a pitch meeting. So any of our volunteers can submit a pitch on what they think this year's show should be. And so then we all get together. I read all the pitches. We have a little vote. And then one of them gets selected. And so this year, Roderick's pitch won. And it was all about nightmares. So it's a thing that we've covered before. But we wanted to kind of make it so it was the greatest hits from our last 25 years. And so we brought back a lot of effects that you may have seen in the past. And the easiest way to tie them in was going through somebody's dreams. And so it was all a bunch of stuff that has scared them. So what's happening in the kitchen doesn't necessarily have to interact directly with the parlor. It doesn't have to interact directly with what's going on in the library, simply because they were all just different nightmares that this person's having over and over again. And we thought that was a great way to tie everything together, to be able to bring back the greatest hits kind of thing. So we're very happy with our 25th anniversary.
Yes. It's called Dead Sleep. And what we do is we get into a team of writers, and anybody who's interested in writing will take the outline that the pitch person puts together. So in this room, these are the effects that we could have. So everybody writes a possible scene, and then we vote on the scene, and then we go from there. So we have to make sure that we keep in mind the theme of nightmares. And we thought, well, dead sleep, this is going to be fun because everybody's got a different nightmare. Nightmares where you're falling, nightmares where you're being chased, nightmares where there's monsters, nightmares where you're at school. Everybody's got something different that they're afraid of. So I could go into one room and be like, meh, this is nothing. But then I could go into another room and be like, oh no, this is not okay. And that's a lot of fun when you hear the different audience members react to that.
What about the classic nightmare where you're on stage and you forget your lines or you don't know them to begin with? Just kidding.
That's just constant. That's all. That.
You open this week, and what's a very good thing is that you have a month so we can make sure we see it before Halloween or by Halloween, and we can return if we want to, as you suggest people do.
So we open on Friday, September 26th, and so we'll be running Friday, Saturday, and Sundays, and closing on Sunday, October 26th, from 7 o'clock until 10 p.m. on Friday and Saturday, and then we close at 9:30 on Sundays.
The other great thing about it is that our ticket price is very reasonable. So you're not going to break the bank. You could bring the whole family. Go out, have some snacks, come for a good scare, see a scary movie, come through the house. And A, you're going to get entertained. You're doing good for the community, and all that money does go back to the United Way.
And the secret is out. You're known far and wide.
We have people from out of town who do other haunts. And they always, there was a group from Philadelphia who comes up
every
to our
year,
haunt.
Usually during the first or second weekend, just because they want to see what it is that we're doing. And they usually bring more friends because, as the one guy told me, he said, I've tried to explain to my friends exactly what it is you guys do here, but I can't really do it in words, so I just have to bring them and show them what it is. And so we get on haunt reviews kind of sites, and we've had people travel from Michigan that just had to come by and say, listen, we've heard about you guys for a long time, and this is our first chance to make it this far east of Pennsylvania to come see exactly what you guys are doing. And we loved it because, you know, there's so many of the Chainsaw in the Barn kind of haunted attractions out there that actually have a theatrical haunted house out there with a completely different story run entirely by volunteers. That's the other thing too, is that we don't keep a dime. You know, we spend some money every year to make upgrades and replace some things that need to get replaced, but every penny we make goes directly to the United Way.
Rob Padden, creative director, and Karen Padden, assistant director, speaking about Gravestone Manor, a theatrical haunted house presentation, this year titled Dead Sleep, opening this Friday, September 26th, and running through October 26th, Fridays and Saturdays at 7, from 7 to 10, and Sundays from 7 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. All proceeds benefit the United Way of Wyoming Valley. And the haunted house is at 1095 Highway 315 in Wilkes-Barre, inside the Trion Warehouse, T-R-I-O-N Warehouse. For more information, gravestonemanor.com, gravestonemanor.com. 25 years of a good scare for a good cause. That's their motto this year. Gravestone Manor, Dead Sleep, and it's September 26th through October 26th, and that's at the Trion Warehouse on Route 315. And for more information on the web, gravestonemanor.com.